thing that we have in common, and that's the God of the universe, his presence in our life, working in and through us. And that's something to be thankful for. So coming off of Thanksgiving and into this other holiday, Christmas, we've got a lot to be thankful for. It's going to be a good season. Next week, we'll start this sermon series on Christmas, just celebrating Christmas. I think you'll want to come invite people for that. That'll be for 3 weeks. And then a reminder that December 20th, will be the one night a year that we have an evening service. It'll be our candlelight service. It'll just be a time of worship and communion, and it'll be candlelight. If you did that last year, you'll know what a blessing that was to be. So it'd be just a time of worship and celebrating all that God's done, and a time of communion. And so I'm looking forward to that. I really, really am looking forward to that. That'll be on the 20th. This afternoon, though, we're going to come and celebrate by Christmas by hanging up some lights. I promised you. Last year, we had maybe 25 people. How many did we have last year? Anybody know? 25 adults, maybe? But it went so well, and we had such a great time. Food, there'll be soup and crackers, and there'll be plenty to eat. And come out for that. This year, last year we bought a whole bunch of extra trees, and I promise you, the stage, the whatever you want to call this area, the altar, whatever you want to call it, it's going to be beautiful, beautiful. I can't wait till tonight to see what it's going to look like. And help us out tonight. It's starting at, what was it, 3 o'clock or 3:30? 3 o'clock tonight, so I promise you'll have a great time. I'm going to invite you, if I can, to the book of Luke, chapter 4. So we're in a kind of a swing time of year. We're right in between these two holidays, and I wanted to, as we're going into Christmas, it's a perfect time of year. It's a built-in time of year to share your faith, because everybody is talking about Christmas, right? It's Christmas trees everywhere, and I find, I did this last year, preached a message similar to this. This is the time of year that you really have a great opportunity to share your faith and who Jesus is. It's built in. It's built in. Perfect time of year for that. So this message is going to kind of challenge us, and also not just challenge us for the next few weeks, but it's going to launch us. I hope that this challenges as we start getting our posture ready for 2016. The theme for 2016 is going to be ready. Ready 2016. And so we got a sermon series that I promise you you're going to be excited about in January, that's going to launch our theme for 2016. Ready. Ready for what God's going to accomplish in 2016. Ready for a breakthrough year in your own life. Ready for a breakthrough year in this church. Ready for you to operate differently in the presence and purposes of God. And so I'm really excited about what God's going to do next year. And so this is sort of going to kind of lay some groundwork for that theme for next year as we begin. And then we'll lose it a little bit with Christmas. But so Luke chapter 4, a story that everyone in this room is familiar with, great story. I want to read it if I can. I've said Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 5. That was some dyslexia there or something. Luke chapter 5. That's after 4, so you were right there. Luke chapter 5. Now it came about that while the multitudes were pressing around him, Jesus, and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake. Now, this is important because, you know, oftentimes we hear that people were just gathering around Jesus because he was healing people. And I want to reject that. People were coming to Jesus because he had good things to say. And he was healing people. But they also heard a man of God speaking God's word, and he was drawing a crowd that way. There's no reason why we can't have a church that's faithful to God's word and not have an expectation that that will help to facilitate church growth and movement forward. The faithful preaching of God's word is an important aspect of what a healthy church does. Amen? Amen, right? So we want to be a church that's faithful in that. And I believe that when we do that, people start to say, hey, there's something going on here that's powerful. We want to see what's going on. And I believe that's part of what we want to do next year. Big, big part of next year's theme as we study and get ready for Ready 2016. So he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and he began teaching the multitude from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. Other translations more familiar, you will be fishers of men. I love that. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left nothing and followed him. This is a great passage. It's a passage, I thought you were going to children's church or something. I just saw Kellen, she was supposed to be, I thought you were going to go to nursery. This is just, excuse me while we have a little private conversation. I guess I was wrong. It just threw me off. Oh, what are you doing here? I was like, because I was thinking this is going to be a great sermon. I hate that Kelly's going to miss it. And then I saw Kelly. You all right? Okay. So this is a great passage, but it has less to do with catching fish than it does with the kind of model that God has for a church that's faithfully following God, the kind of model of a church that's catching men, that has fishers of men. This is more a story about God saying, look, you want to catch fish? That's nothing. This is easy. This is chump change. God can do this with no problem and bring fish all over the place. I want to top that by making you a fisher of men. And that's his heartbeat. God's heartbeat is less about fish, it's more about men, see? And so God was giving us a little story here to launch us into something even more important, and that's the task at hand that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, especially this particular time of year, to be the kind of person that says, I'm going to go out and do all that God's calling me to do. I'm going to be salt and light in this world that's lost. How does that happen? How do people hear about Jesus but that somebody tells them? How does somebody hear and know about Jesus but that they hear it from you? How does your neighbor find out that there's a God who loves them? You need to tell them. How does your coworker find out that there's hope for them in the middle of their broken life? You tell them about Jesus. And so this story is really great. So central to this is, I love it, it's the beginning, is that Jesus is being faithful to God's word here. So he was pressing around, he listened, and the multitude coming around and listening to the word of God, and he was standing by this lake, and he saw two boats lying at the edge, verse 2, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And I don't really blame them, because verse 5 says, Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. And so there comes a point in everybody's life in ministry where you're working hard. Ever been here? in ministry, working hard, doing a lot for God, trying to see increase, trying to see fruit, trying to see fruit from your labor, out all night, these guys out all night, casting their fish. I mean, it's kind of dumb to, if you've been out fishing all night, to continue doing it, right? I mean, they're out all night fishing, caught nothing, and Jesus comes along. Now, they're specialists in their trade. This is what they did. I hate fishing. People invite me to go fishing all the time, or, you know, we're used to, not around here. Are there good fishing around here? It's too cold for fishing around here. Is it too cold for fishing? I don't know. No, I think it is. I had a friend of mine years when I was in high school, and his parents owned a lake. They owned thousands and thousands of acres. He was a tree farmer. I didn't even know there were such things as tree farmers. That's what his dad did. And so this guy, he was a cool guy, and he lived in his own house, and he was 16, but he had a log cabin that was his. That's where he stayed. So his parents had money, and so I'd always go out there all the time because it was like, oh, man, I get to spend time with somebody. This kid lives in his own house. It's a log cabin over by the lake. I mean, it was just cool thing, but what he loved to do was fish, and I hated it. So when I'd go out there, got on his little boat, say, let's go fishing. Oh, fine. I mean, so I'd go out there. It was part of the sacrifice of going to his house and being able to hang out with him, to go out fishing. I hate almost everything about fishing. I hate crickets. I hate hooks. I hate worms. And then you cast it. You don't do it right. And then you catch brim or some fish that there's no way you're going to eat. But most of the time, with fishing, especially if this is not your trade and you don't do it a lot, at least for me, I can tell you I've maybe in my life caught two or three fish, and I've been fishing a lot. I hate it. It's an energy and effort with very little return, and it's not exciting. It's not particularly exciting. You're just sitting in a boat. Basically, it's the worst possible pastime. Sitting in a boat, wasting time is basically what fishing is. So I can kind of empathize. These guys are doing it for their life. And they go out. I'm going to tell you, after 10 minutes, I don't catch. I'm done. These fish aren't eating. No, you have to wait. I don't really want to wait. I want instant gratification. It's like with anything. If you're good at it, you like it. If you don't catch anything, you're no good at it, you don't like it. So it's not catching anything. I want to quit. Well, these guys are going out. They're going out all night. It's their livelihood, not catching anything. This is what they do. Experts in their trade. Jesus comes along and says, go back out and do it again. Hold on. We've done it all night. We've been toiling, doing our thing all night long, nothing. And Jesus says, no, go back out, trust me, go back out one time. Okay, well, if you say so, I'll do it, but only because you say so. So they go back out, they put their nets out, and what happens? They come back with unbelievable amount of fish. I thought that I was the expert in fishing. No, Jesus is the expert, and you're not. Jesus is the expert in every area of your life. Whatever trade you're in, God knows more about it than you do. God's the God of the universe. So it's helpful to be a Christian, because hopefully Christians are the best at what they do, because they have the God of the universe helping them. So, but they're ready to quit. How often in ministry do we go and we toil, we put time and energy and effort into doing things? We did all year, we did all summer, the Love Tiffin events, and we go out and we put our energy into it. All of you that put time and energy into Love Tiffin, God bless you. So we're putting out the labor, doing all that God's calling us to do, and it seems like maybe nothing came of that. We hand out a whole bunch of water, but nothing, and there's a tendency to want to quit right in the middle of something when nothing's happening. But you know, the thing is, you don't want to quit too soon, because right on the other side, Jesus is coming, and he's going to bless all the energy and effort that you've done and put into it. And the next thing you know, it blows up. That's the way God works. It's like, no, I'm ready to quit. No, just hold on because it's coming. God wants to bless all the energy and effort that we've put into fishing. God wants to bless it. And he comes along. He says, right when you thought nothing was happening, God comes in, something happens. And it's miraculous. Don't quit. You've been putting your time into children's ministry. It doesn't look like anything's happening. Maybe you've quit already. Well, I wasn't very successful at that ministry. Jump back in. God's going to work in your life and do something awesome in your life. Get plugged into the ministry God's calling you to do and hold on. God wants to bless it. He wants to pour fruit. He wants to pour blessing and fruit over your labor. And don't quit too soon. It's not that God's not going to bless. It's just that you have to be patient, but it's coming. Don't quit. God is going to bless. No. But I've been doing this all night long. I'm tired. Persevere. God wants to do something in your life. Don't quit. Put your energy and your time into what God is doing. God will bless it. We need a whole bunch of fishermen in this church that'll step up and say, I'm going to put my time and energy into ministry. And I know that it doesn't look like anything's really rolling, but I believe by faith that God's going to accomplish something big. And that's what Ready is about next year, Ready 2016. Oh, God's going to do something in this church. I really believe it. It's going to take a whole bunch of you saying, I'm plugging into ministry and I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep pushing. And just at the time where it seems like God's not doing anything. I'm really frustrated. I feel like God's not honoring my energy. I've done so much for God, so much sacrifice that God says, just hold on. The fish are coming. Don't quit too soon. As some of you, do you mind my saying, maybe you're not going to see anything happen because you're not doing what God's calling you to do, whatever that is. I'm not even talking about the church. I'm talking about just in your life. You're not honoring God with your time, your energy, your talents. You're not honoring God. You're never going to see anything. All you're going to get to see is all the blessings that everybody... I mean, I can imagine that there are people out there watching this scene, maybe other fishermen that were out there, and they quit just like Simon did. And Jesus calls Simon to go out, and there's like, what fools they are to go back out there in the water. There's nothing going on. The fish aren't biting. They're avoiding the nets no matter what. There's nothing going on. Simon, you're a fool. And then they watch as God begins to honor his energy and effort and say, well, why? Look, I'm over here doing nothing. And in the meantime, Simon's cashing in. I quit. I'm just a spectator. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be in on what God's doing. I want to be on the boat watching this miraculous thing happen so that when God starts to do something, I say, I was a participant in all that God was doing in the creative work of God in this church, and I'm seeing that I'm seeing the energy and effort that I gave come to fruition with fruit. Is everybody awake? I just feel like I need a water. Maybe I need water. Where'd my water go? Does anybody see my water? Oh, there it is. Maybe, I don't know. Let's take a break here. Is everybody here this morning? Okay, do you want to be a participant or a spectator in what God is going to do in this church? Because participants will see a blessing of God come because of an interaction that they had with God, a participation with God to accomplish the kingdom of God in their life. And the blessing that's going to come from that is going to be great. And then there are going to be people that just come on Sunday. That's the only time we meet Sunday. But they come and they're not really plugged in. And they see all that God's doing. And they say, man, I wish I'd have jumped in. I wish I'd have jumped in. Maybe God could have done more. Maybe if there would have been more fishermen out there obedient to God's call, more would have happened. We need fishermen, but not fishermen for fish. That's for the birds. We need fishers of men. We need laborers to go out into the harvest to accomplish something great for God. I really, in my mind's eye, I see God doing some amazing things here. I see this room full. I see God accomplishing something big. So, well, Jesse, you're always talking about numbers. You know, because I'm kind of pumped about numbers because every number represents a soul. I'm kind of pumped about that. I'm kind of pumped about numbers because Jesus, when he said to go out and cast the nets, he didn't give them two or three fish. It was a lot of fish. There's something about a lot that's better than a little when it comes to honoring God, when it comes to fruitfulness of what God's plan is in our lives. We should not settle for a little. God doesn't want a little in your life. Let's get rid of the theology that says that God wants you to be always struggling, that God wants you to be, I mean, God's got you maybe in a time when it's tough times. Hang in there. That's okay. But that's not God's perfect plan for you. God's got something better in the future. God's plan is for you not to be destitute and always and a borrower all the time. God wants you to be a lender. God does not want you satisfied with very little. God is a God of abundance. The thing is, it's yielding to all that God has in your life and saying, God, I'm tired. I've done it for a long time. I haven't seen fruit, but I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on to all that. I'm going to press on towards God, all that God has in my life. I'm going to keep going, even when I'm tired. Even when it doesn't look like God's operating in my life, I just have to trust that God's doing it. The fish hadn't been biting. Well, they will start biting when God gets involved. Where'd my Bible go? Here it is. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put down into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5, Simon answered and said, Master, worked all night, caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, great blessing as a response to the obedience of a heart that says, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Great blessing, great quantity of fish. So much so that their nets began to break. Imagine that, a church where God's blessing it so much, there is no room, standing room only. Oh, Jesse, you're talking out of your head. That's not going to happen here. See, I see God doing amazing things if we're just faithful to what God's calling us to do. That's right. Not little fish, barely any. We got enough to get by. So much fish that the nets are breaking. They're having to call other people. It'd be great if we came to the place where it's like, hey, we got so many people here. I need to call other churches to come get some of these people because we got too much. We can't do it. We're on our fifth service as it is. Please, somebody else go to the other church, okay? We got too many people here, all right? How many? Wouldn't that be great if God was honoring this place that much, that the Holy Spirit's working in this place so much, and we're so honoring God that everybody in this room, no, without exception, is saying, God, I'm honoring you. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to be faithful. Everybody in this room, and God begins to honor that, and God begins to bless it, and then so we start pulling the nets together, and the next thing you know, people start coming. I mean, all over the place, it starts breaking, nets start breaking. Hey, listen, Pastor so-and-so, we need you to come get some of these people. We got too much. He's having to call other boats. Is there anybody here who's confused about that? Is anybody here like, yeah, but I don't think God wants to do that? See, I don't have ears to hear that. I don't have ears to hear that God does not want to do that in this place. If you want to be a naysayer and speak that kind of doubt, speak it somewhere else. Don't speak it in my ears. I'm moving forward in faith that God wants to accomplish something here. I don't have ears to hear doubt casters. I want to hear people say, no, I believe God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to work. It's going to take some people getting involved. It's going to take some hearts that are committed to Jesus, that are going to pray this thing out. But God's going to honor this church. There's going to be some amazing things happening. We need that kind of person here. No more doubt. No, this story's about fish. You're taking a leap too far. No, the story's not about fish. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is not about fish. This is about God working in your life. This is part of God's word to instruct us in righteousness. This is not a story about fish. This is a story about this church moving forward in the power of God, doing something amazing, and blowing this up for the glory of God. Boats are tipping over. They came and filled the boats. They began to sink. Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me." When we see God work, what's going to happen is we're going to say, "God, you're good," not "look how great we are." God, oh, look at this God who's just blessing us to overflowing. Where did this come from? God, we're amazed. We're amazed. That's what happens. This is not so that First United Baptist Church gets a big name. This is so that Jesus gets a big name. This is so that we magnify God, so that Jesus' name is bigger, so that Tiffin has a bigger sense of all that God can accomplish. It's not about this church. This is about the God of the universe getting glory through us. Okay? This is not about Jesse. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about his name. Want to magnify Jesus. So that's what they do, right? For amazement had seized them. "Depart, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. I love that. "So also James, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Jesus, said to Simon, 'Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men.'" Let that be this church. We want to catch men here, yes, and women and children. That's what we're here for. We're here. That's what God's calling us to do. So I don't want to feel like a broken record, but I feel like the last year has been about trying to cast vision about a God who wants to do something bigger in this place. And I think next year we'll see some fruit from the casting of that vision. But we need to catch this vision. This is not church as usual. God, help us to not be a church. We're just complacent. We're just coming to church. No, we want to see the move of God, the presence of God here. We want to see the purposes of God accomplished in this very space through these very people. No more church as usual. God's calling us to something bigger. "Do not fear." Don't fear. "I'm going to make you fishers of men." This is good. "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus." They left everything and followed Jesus. Now, I don't know if, let's just make this really clear. This is really important. This is the heartbeat of someone who's a follower of Jesus is, because now, get the payday had just come in. Right, that's good. They were fishermen, and they just got the payday of their lives. You see what I'm saying? That's good. They got fish coming out everywhere. They just made their year. That was their Christmas bonus right there. And they're leaving their Christmas bonus and all this blessing. That's not really the thing is about fish. That's great, but that's nothing compared to following this guy. This guy called Jesus. That's what I'm about. I don't care. They gave up their payday and all this blessing that God had given them for the real prize. The real prize wasn't the fish. The real prize was Jesus. Jesus, I get to follow Jesus the rest of the days of my life. I'm on that game plan because that all that fish and everything, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's bigger and better. I just have to get on the Jesus plan. See what I'm saying? So they didn't just follow Jesus. They left everything, all that catch, breaking nets. I mean, the payday of their lifetime, they left it to follow Jesus. That's a big deal, if you think about it. You ever thought about that before? They left everything. Hey, listen. What are you following? Are you following the payday? Are you following the job? Are you following the thing over there? Or is your life about Jesus? No, I'm going to follow Jesus. What are we following here? Are we following hard after God, or are we following our own agenda? Are we following after Jesus 100%? That's what a Christ follower is. We're doing this thing on Thursday nights with some college students. And I get sort of a little bit antsy. So I'm very careful about the way I word things with, particularly with lost people or young Christians. I'm very careful about, like, I almost never say the word saved because a lost person hears that. What in the world does that mean? You know what I'm saying? So I'm very careful about, like, the words I say. So I prefer. Like the day when I began to follow Jesus to describe the day that I came to know Jesus or come to faith. I prefer, because that makes perfect sense, right? So when were you saved? Yeah, so really, so the thing is, when I came to follow Jesus was this. Because saved just is like, I'm saved. I was like in a boat. The boat sank. Somebody threw me a life vest, and I grabbed onto it, and thank goodness I'm not going to die anymore. I've been saved. And if there's a hell, which I believe there is, it's good to have fire insurance. Everybody agree with that? So that's a good idea to have fire insurance if you know there's a fire coming. So nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, that's only part of the picture. The God of the universe did not save you just to be saved. He saved you to follow after God, to be the kind of person who's doing, apprenticing themselves to Jesus like the apprentice, right? I just want to do whatever this guy does. I'm following Jesus. See, that's a very good picture. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. Whatever he does, I'm going to do. Whatever he says, I say. How he does it, I'll do it. I'm going to follow Jesus. I am a Christ follower. What are you following? Are you following Jesus, or are you following the payday? We started this year off with the sermon series All In. I don't know how many remember this. We should have kind of, that was the theme for this year. I didn't do a good job at sort of reminding us of the theme, All In. I don't know who remembers this. You ought to get a copy. If you don't remember, it'd be a good reminder. It was from, the study was, there's my Bible. I'm having a tough day today. The study was from Haggai. Let's see if I can find Haggai. The study was from Haggai, so I just want to remind us of this as we close this year and move on to next year. All In was a study from Haggai. It was the theme for the year. I'm going to do a better job at theming out next year, so we'll always be reminded of the theme. Here was the message in short. In the second year of Darius, Haggai chapter 1, the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, a lot of names, saying this, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come. This is what God says about the church at the time. Okay, the children of Israel. This is what God says. Oh, listen, God says this, the time has not come. The people are saying this, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for yourself to dwell in your paneled houses while this house, the temple, lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What was this message about? It's a reminder. And Haggai the prophet saying this. Look, they had just come out of exile. They'd been out of exile for years and years and years. The children of Israel had plenty of time, years, to build their own houses. And in the meantime, the temple had not been rebuilt. It was in rubbles. It was desolate, nothing going on. And God says, you know what the heart is of the people of God? Their heart is, we don't have time to build God's house. But in the meantime, you've built up your own paneled houses. You've got your houses sitting in luxury. And in the meantime, my house is desolate. And God's like, consider your ways. Consider your ways. We have to be a church that's all in. What's that mean? That means that we say, you know what? I've got enough. I've spent my 55 years, 60 years, 70 years serving myself. I've spent my 15 years, 12 years, 13 years for myself. Everything moving forward is for God. I'm pouring everything I have into God's plan. I've got enough. I don't need anything else. And God's looking at the church, the modern church, I think, saying the same thing. Hey, when do you think that you have enough? When do you think? I think if we were to accumulate all the assets of the people in this church, it would be hundreds and millions of dollars. And then you look at the assets of our church, it's like we're struggling to, we need this and we need that, and we're struggling with our budget. When do we have enough and are we satisfied? And when are we going to say, okay, I'm on God's program now. I'm pouring into what God is doing. It's a tough message. When at some point we say, no, I've seen God work. I've seen him do things. I believe that he's the God of the universe. I'm not staying in to all the benefits and blessing. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. I'm going to go in. I've got enough. I can be satisfied with what I have. Enough accumulating for myself. I'm pouring into what God's doing. I'm going to pour into what God's doing. I think if we have a church that operates like that in 2016, we're going to be the equivalent of these guys. We're going to be casting nets. We may get tired, but before long, we start pulling it up. We start pulling up the nets. We start pulling up the nets, spiritually speaking, and God begins to bless it, and this thing just breaks out. What's going to take everyone in this room to get in the game? And this time of year is a perfect time of year to buy in, right? Perfect time. You have opportunities this year that are just, the world's so stupid. They got Christmas everywhere, and they think we're not going to exploit that. We're going to talk about Jesus. Happy holidays. You lost your mind. Merry Christmas to you, and to you. And everybody in here, Merry Christmas. And we're going to talk about Jesus. And I'm not going to be bullied into playing the politically correct game anymore. I'm living for Jesus, and the world's not going to dictate how I do it. I'm going to do it to honor God. And if that costs me my life, then it costs me my life. But political correctness will not stop this church from honoring God and doing what God's called it to do. It's going to take people to say, I want to do what God's calling me to do no matter what. It may step on toes or whatever, but we're going to pull in some fish. 2016. Are you ready? I believe God wants to bless us. It may mean that you get vocal and say, hey, you got to come by the church. You got to invite people. That sign, 80% of people come to church because of an invite, not because of a brochure or whatever. I mean, it's going to take people saying, I'm passionate about Jesus. I'm passionate about his house. I'm in. And I want to see my life used so that at the end of the day, we're pulling up fish and we're saying, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. God's a good God. He's for me. He's not against me. He wants to do great things on my behalf. God is good. And he wants to change the city upside down. I love this city. I'd love it even more if 80% of the people here were Christians. Be even better. Who's going to do the work? This church. That's who God's calling for the task. Well, who's this church? Well, happens to be you. Happens to be you. Do you receive that word this morning in Jesus' name? Do you receive it? If you do, say amen. All right. God is good. Lord, we love you. You're a good God, worthy, worthy today. And we believe, we stand amazed at all that you can accomplish. And so we stand in faith right now. We see what you can accomplish. We believe it by faith. We're not worthy vessels where there's nothing good in us save Christ and his blood. And so we yield to all that you are. We follow you today. Lord, if there's any of us right now, they're just struggling with this idea of giving more to you. Lord, we pray, we stand against that bondage. We stand against it and ask that you would break the enemy's hold on our lives such that we will give all that you've required, all our energy, all our time, all our talent. God, that we would stop to invest in ourselves and begin to invest our time, talent, and treasure into what you're doing. Lord, that we would consider our ways. Help us to follow you. We love you today. We want to see the move of God and the presence of God in this place. We want to see it. We long to see it. We believe it by faith that you're going to accomplish great things. Lord, we ask for it by faith. We ask that you'd accomplish great things. We speak ahead now into 2016 and believe by prayer and God even fasting that you're going to accomplish great things in this house. We stand against the enemy that would want to stop that from happening. Lord, you need a church in this place, in this city, that's going to stand in the gap. And God, we'd ask that everybody in this room would take up the mantle and follow you like you've required of them. God, we love you. We need you today. Bless us. Bless this church. Bless us as we go into the Christmas season. Lord, help us to remember what it's really about, the great gift of Jesus. And Lord, you're condescending to die on the cross for us. We're humbled. Lord, give us fruit this year, even as we have just a few weeks left. We pray for fruit. We pray for fish. We believe that you want to grant that prayer, so we believe it with faith. We love you. Give us a good day. Dismiss us by your great grace. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.